Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. As most of you know, I'm seriously partially sighted and cannot read anything, so I'll need someone to read my passage of scripture for me, the passage that is up there. So if somebody would like to do that.
Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you. We're engaged in the church and have been for several weeks on a study of the epistle to the Hebrews. These were Jewish Christians who were facing persecution and who attempted to go back to Judaism to escape the persecution they were facing, most of which was coming from their own people. And so we're going through the letter to the Hebrew Christians, and we were looking last week at chapters 4, essentially, where God is speaking about the rebellious and faithless generation that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, way back in the time of the Exodus. And these people were ungrateful and did not give God any credit or blessing for the position they were in, forgetting that it was their own cowardice and their own failure to have true faith that was the reason why they had not possessed the land immediately that God had promised to them. Instead of blaming themselves for their own failure, which they ought to have done, they blamed God. And it's very sad when this happens, when people harden their hearts against the message of love, against the truth of the Gospels, because for one reason or another, they do not want to obey. And so, as we look into this, I thought I'd look at what it meant to actually enter the rest of God. So I'm digressing very slightly here. We read of the generation that God in his anger said would never enjoy his rest. And we've been looking at that. And so I want briefly to look at what it means to actually enjoy and enter into the rest of God. What it means to feel burdened, weary, and heavy laden that causes us to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for rest. So that's where we are. And before I start, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that grace means we do not receive the punishment we deserve for our sins, but rather we are justified by your righteousness. God the Father made you who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we who are sin might become the righteousness of God. So we thank you, Lord, for our standing in you, that despite our sinful natures, you see us as holy and righteous. You see us as people who are worthy, through Christ's sacrifice alone, of entering the kingdom of God. So bless us now as we seek to understand what brings us to Christ and what he has done for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So what does it mean then to be weary and heavy laden? It means, first of all, obviously, we recognise that we are fallen sinners, that as we are by nature, we have no fellowship with God, and we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for full salvation. I remember way back in my own experience, most of you know, because I'm poorly sighted, I can't see who's here, many of you, although I recognise many of you as well. But Many of you know that I was brought up a Jehovah's Witness, and after being one for 15 years, decided I no longer wanted to be part of that religion anymore. It was a controlling, to me, no longer desirable faith to be in. And so I left it at the age of 26. I was married with two tiny children, both of them preschool. And I decided that I would see if I could manage without God in my life. As a Jehovah's Witness, I believe that God could be found nowhere else except in their group. And once I'd rejected them, it was easy for me to think that God could simply not be found if he existed at all. And so for a period of about a year, I tried to live without God. I'm glad it didn't last any longer. I'm glad the Lord's timing for me was perfect, because in that year I found that without God I was going to go seriously, seriously astray. Lose my wife's love, lose the love of my children. I found that I was weak by nature, that my sinful nature could very easily overpower me and take me down dark roads. And the Lord showed me that I could not live without his full salvation. Praise God for that, because I needed to see it. I don't know if any of you have had that experience, if you've come to Christ for the first time, because you have seen and know perfectly well that without him, you're going to go to a very dark place. There are people, many of them, who can live without the Lord Jesus Christ and still live decent, regular lives, people who can still live moral lives. Well, I found I wasn't such a person, and if you were like that, you'll know exactly what I mean. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ because I very much needed to, if I was to enjoy the love and trust of my wife, enjoy the love and trust of my children, lead the kind of life that I knew I needed to live. And praise God, he saved me fully and completely. I turned to him in sin and repentance as a fallen creature. And that's the essence of the gospel that we preach to everybody. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. Weak and heavy laden because we recognize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are lost, helpless sinners. Because we recognize that we cannot do anything about it. The Lord Jesus Christ has done all that we need. We need to come to him, not trust in ourselves. For me, that was never a possibility, but sometimes people, I'm sure you know, believe that you can be what they would call a good Christian without necessarily taking the Lord Jesus Christ all that seriously. You can lead an honest life, you can be a good neighbour, you can work honestly and fairly at your work, you can try and be a good husband and father, and many people can be good husbands and fathers without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are many people who can do that. But they too need salvation. And it's sometimes harder, have you found? If you're talking to somebody who without Christ in their life is leading a fairly honest, decent life, and you speak to them about their need of Christ, and they say, well, why? Yeah, I'm fine. My own son is like that. He's a good father, a good husband, a hard worker, a credit to me in every way, in the way he lives. And he sees no need to take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. He does not see himself as a sinner in need of repentance. And have you ever found that these are the hardest people sometimes to bring the gospel to? If somebody is obviously going to go seriously wrong without Christ, and I've spoken to people like that too, and we tell them the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to bring real change into their life, They say, well, this is what I need. When I first heard the gospel, I thought, yes, this is the only way I can find the things that I need. This is the only way I can live the kind of life that I want to live. And praise God, that was over 50 years ago. And I've never regretted for a moment coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that makes us come to the Lord Jesus Christ, feeling weary and heavy laden, is our own sinfulness. And what we have to do is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has won us full salvation. Full salvation. He is the shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. He gives us rest. He gives us refreshment. He gives us peace. So to Jesus Christ we need to turn for salvation. But there are other things that can make life seem difficult, that can make us feel weary and heavy laden. Sometimes we just do not understand what God is doing. We do not understand what God might be doing in the church. We don't sometimes understand what God might be doing in our own particular lives. And it can be really difficult when we find ourselves in this situation. Again, I remember that when I decided that the Lord was calling me to perhaps become a pastor in the Scottish Baptist churches, it took a great deal of sacrifice from my wife and myself for that to be accomplished. I had to study for 3 years at a college in Glasgow whilst we both lived in Dumfries, which was 70 miles away. And that study was from Monday to Friday. It was the first time I'd been separated from my wife for these kinds of periods. I had to leave Dumfries early on Monday morning and then get back until tea time on Friday night. And in the meantime, she had to deal with everything entirely by herself, you know, the children and whatever. And it brought financial hardship because, of course, during that time, although I had a government grant, I wasn't able to do any work. And so it wasn't easy. It took 3 years of real sacrifice, especially on the part of my wife, for the time to finally come when I was ordained as a Baptist minister and went to a church to lead it. Now, I don't want to say too much about that. All that I would say is that church needed an awful lot of correction, and I tried to correct it. All I will say is it was so divided amongst itself that every single man in the church was a deacon. Every single man was a church leader. It was such a divided church that all of them, in a church of only 60, we had 15 men met in the deacon's court, which was what Baptist churches had then. They didn't recognise fully the difference between elders and deacons. So you can imagine the difficulties that that caused. And in trying to deal with the situation, after 4 years there, they asked me to leave. They didn't want me to be their pastor anymore. They didn't like what I was saying to them. They didn't want to go down the road I was trying to lead them down. And they said they needed me to resign. So I did. I left them after 4 years. And I thought to myself, what on earth is the Lord doing in my life? After these years of sacrifice, after these years of hardship, all that has been accomplished is basically I've moved from window cleaning in Dumfries. That was my secular occupation. I was a domestic window cleaner. I've moved from cleaning windows in Dumfries to cleaning windows in Stirling. Was all the sacrifice worth it? Just to move me 70 miles up the road, to leave the ministry and go back to doing a secular job? Is that what the Lord is intending for me? And it took a year of prayer before the Lord showed me where he was taking me. But then he opened a door of blessing to me, so that me and Nancy then enjoyed 12 years of the most glorious and blessed ministry. But there was a time when I couldn't understand what the Lord was saying. I couldn't understand what the Lord was doing. And what little I did understand, I couldn't accept. Now, have any of you ever been in a place like that? It's not always easy, is it? We love the Lord. We want to do his will. But there are times when we simply do not know what his will for us might be. It can be frustrating. It can be difficult. It can be dreadfully disappointing. But praise God, he does always show us where we are to go and what we are to do. He opened a door of blessing to Nancy and I, which led us to a church that couldn't afford to pay a pastor his wage. The church only had 24 members at its lowest. By the time I got there, it had 30. But it had a heart to grow. It had a heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It had a great desire to be a church full of blessing, a church that would see conversions and salvation come to those who knew God not until they were saved. It was a church that looked to a positive future, but it couldn't afford to pay a pastor. So they approached me as a domestic window cleaner now in Stirling and said, "Look, David, we can't afford to pay you, but we'd like you to come and be our minister, to lead us, to take our services and to basically take us down the road of God's choosing. And we'll pay you what we can." And at first, what that meant was I had to spend 20 hours a week cleaning windows and the rest of my time leading the church. And God blessed the church. It grew in 12 years from 30 members to over 120. And as it grew, they were able to take more and more of the burden of secular employment off me. So you see what the Lord was showing me. From a position of not knowing where God was taking me, of feeling frustrated because I'd simply moved from one town to another as a domestic window cleaner, the Lord showed me that I was equipped, along with Nancy, to lead this church. And as I say, it grew to 120 members. And the Lord opened a door of blessing to me. So I would say to everybody here who might be in a place where they're having to wait on the Lord's will, be in a place where they don't fully understand what the Lord is saying or doing, then pray. Pray and trust and believe, because the Lord will show you what he's doing and what he's saying. It's just a wonderful thing to know and experience. He tells us in this passage of scripture, a few verses there that Stephanie read to us, that we are yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. My yoke is easy. When you yoke two oxen together to plough, they walk side by side, doing the work. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is yoked to us, the blessing is that he walks with us in the way. Wherever we're going, we're walking alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. We're doing the work together. All credit and glory to his name, but we are saved to serve. We are saved for good works that the Lord intends for us to do. And as we seek to serve him, and as I've sought to serve him over the last 50 odd years, I've sometimes been very conscious of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is walking alongside me. All the glory and all the blessing that might ever attend anything we do must always go to him. for he is the Saviour. And the first thing we have to say to anybody who comes to us for help is you need to find full salvation. And how do we find full salvation? We can sometimes make it seem too complicated. All we have to do is recognise, first of all, our need of salvation, our sinful natures. For me, as I've said, that really wasn't difficult. And recognising that in myself there was no power to live the life I wanted to live, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. As one of the praise songs we sing puts it, I'll never know how much it cost, never, to see my sin upon the cross. Those words where Jesus briefly becomes the sin bearer for me, for you, for the whole world, and utters those dreadful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine what it must have meant for the eternal Holy Son of God, who'd always enjoyed the closest relationship with God, his Heavenly Father? Can you imagine what it cost him to have his Father turn his face as he bore the sins of the world? He experienced the punishment from God the Father that we should have experienced. Can you imagine it? He did that for me. He did that for you. And for the sins of the whole world, he died so that everyone who comes to him for full salvation will not be turned away. So that when finally he cries in triumph, it is finished, we shall be looking a great deal in the book of Hebrews at the fact that Jesus Christ has died once for all time for the sins of the world. It is finished. And we shall be looking at that next week, and I'm looking forward to hearing the preaching. We're going to be looking at the power of the Word of God. We're coming to that passage which speaks of the Word of God discerning our thoughts, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we need the Word of God to guide us and help us in our Christian walk. We need the Word of God to correct us when we're going wrong. We need the Word of God to help us when Satan is attacking us. But for now, I just want to leave you with this thought. If we come to Jesus feeling weary and heavy laden, for whatever reason, he will give us the peace. He will give us the rest that we seek. His peace he gives us, an eternal peace, resting in his finished work. Amen.